The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, everybody? Another Alcatulo Craft Beer Cast, and it's right here on AM 970, The Answer. We got a great show for you tonight. A craft beer guest that's going to be joining me later this hour, in studio, actually, for two segments, the usual news and notes to get to. But first, how can you follow me? Very easily on Twitter at Alcatulo, Instagram at Catulo, that's GATTULLO, Facebook.com/AGCraftBeerCast, via email at AlbertG@NYCRadio.com, and don't forget iTunes and Google Play. You just do a search for AG Craft Beer Cast. You can find all the shows on those two platforms. Alexa ready as well. We are also on the Hopped Up Network. Just go over to the hoppedupnetwork.com and you will find my beer cast along with a plethora of others. And I can let me give you a couple of shout outs to some of the people that are on there. You've got Tap That Arizona, The Brew Happy Show, Jersey Beer Guys and a Girl. You got the South Jersey Beer Scene, The Drunk Guys Book Club, Drinking Geek Out the Podcast. These are just some great, great three beers in. This is the podcast, the Speak Podcast. You've got lots of different podcasts that you can check out right on the Hopped Up Network. Selling Craft Beer as well, another great one. You definitely want to check these guys out. They've got some great stuff on, and all the news that is fit to say about beer and other things. Little Greta Van Fleet to kick things off. I know there are people that are not fans. That was called Highway Tune. There are people who are not fans of that band. I happen to be a fan of that band. Would love to see them at some point. These kids are very Led Zeppelin-esque, but I love them. I think they're great. I think they do a nice job, and I think they capture the spirit of what classic rock is all about. Now, coming up in 10 minutes, for two segments, he'll be in studio with me. Author Joshua Bernstein is going to join me to talk about his new book, Drink Better Beer. We're going to discuss the book, the beer business in general. He's going to tell you about pairing food with beer, the proper glassware to drink your beer, what to look for when you go into a gastropub or a craft beer bar and the bartender is about to serve you a beer. What to look for? What type of beer? Independent, not independent? Whatever your taste may be, how clean the glass is, how clean the beer is that they've actually, run stuff through their tap line so that the beer comes out fresh and the way it's meant to be. Instead of, there are some bars, believe me, there are plenty of them that don't clean their draft lines. But lots of other stuff as well. So that's what Joshua Bernstein, Drink Better Beer is the new book. That's coming up about 10 minutes from now. So we've got a lot of news to get to, and we're not going to have that much time to do it because we've only got the one segment, and then, of course, Suds and Duds later on in the program. But Kelsey Grammer, the actor, has finally opened his tap room called Faith American Brewing in Margaretville in Delaware County in the Catskills. It just opened about a week or so ago. The tap room is at 334 Rough Road in the tiny village of Margaretville, which is in Delaware County. The tap room features Faith American Ale, the upstate New York beer that Grammer had launched last year. The beer is a golden Belgian ale. It's being brewed under contract for Grammer's company at Frog Alley Brewing in Schenectady. The Margaretville Tap Room is not currently set up as a brewery. Grammer says he hopes to bring a brewery to the former family farm he purchased 26 years ago. Now, Kelsey had talked about this back in March 2016, and then he was on with Live with Kelly and Ryan in 2017, July of 2017, when he mentioned that he wanted to build this brewery. Tap room is going to be open in season, though the brewery's website doesn't indicate its exact hours or opening dates. Faith American Ale is available as well on tap and in cans throughout upstate New York. There's a guy who writes for, does a lot of beer writing in upstate New York, Don Kazentre. You can follow him over on Facebook and stuff. Don does a great job covering the beer scene in upstate New York. I'm going to have to get him on at some point on the program to discuss how things are going in upstate New York with a lot of different things. But very cool that Kelsey Grammer's place is open. I have to find out where Margaretville is in relation to where my neighbor has a house in the Catskills. I'm not going to mention where, but we'd love to see if it's a short enough drive, if we can get to it, to go check it out maybe in the fall when it's open. Who knows? You never know. As we continue on here, news and notes on the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Iron Maiden has announced the release of their first lager. It's Trooper Sun and Steel. It is a 4.8% ABV double fermented lager created with authentic Japanese sake yeast. The beer takes its name from, of course, the Iron Maiden song Sun and Steel. It appears on their 1983 album Peace of Mind. And so it uses lager yeast for the initial fermentation, followed by sake yeast for a second fermentation. The result is a delicate, subtle fruit flavor infused into a Pilsner-style beer, as the press release says, equal parts refreshing, invigorating, and flavorful. Why not just say it's beer? I love the descriptions, but sometimes I don't see people going up to other people and saying, hey, have you had that Iron Maiden Trooper Sun and Steel? You know, it's quite refreshing, invigorating, and flavorful. I've never heard somebody describe a beer that way. Just saying. Sun and Steel is going to be available nationwide beginning in October. Serves as a thank you to all the fans who came out for the North American leg of Iron Maiden's Legacy of the Beast tour. It concludes in the United States on September 25th. In San Antonio, Texas, Sun and Steel will be available in four packs of 16-ounce cans and on draft. The good folks from Killsboro, these guys are just doing such a fantastic job over on Staten Island, Sean Torres and his partner, Vin. They started a 10-barrel brewery inside the restaurant called Craft House and started brewing beer. 2 years ago, they came out. And let me tell you something, they're knocking it out of the park. So they announced earlier this week that they are partnering up with Union Beer Distributors to distribute their beer, which is awesome. That's great news. Now, I believe this is kegs only to bars. I don't believe Union Beer is distributing cans because I didn't see anything in the press release that said cans available. I think this is just draft beer. But now, and it's available in Sixtals now, so if you want to try Killsboro beer, if you're a fan of Killsboro beer, ask for it. Your bar in New York can get it. I don't believe they distribute in New Jersey. We've got to get them out in Jersey because I'm telling you, I love going back and forth to Staten Island. But if they were in Jersey and had cans in Jersey, it would just be easier for me to purchase them. Just saying. The toll gets a little expensive after a while. But anyway, just if you're listening, Sean. So they started brewing in Craft House in off Van Duzer Street on the North Shore of Staten Island. And it's a 10-barrel system. They can't brew a ton of beer out of there. But they were also they were self-distributing. Very difficult when you're operating a business, and then you've got to go out and you've got to go to accounts and you've got to pick up the kegs and all kinds of stuff. It does take a toll. So this is great that they are starting to branch out a little bit and they're getting a distributor involved. So kudos to Union Beer Distributors for getting them on board, and kudos to the folks at Killsboro. This is great. I am over the moon. So the Sixtals that are available right now for consumption in bars, Iridescent, their fruited sour IPA, Sleight of Hand, which is a double dry hop New England double IPA, and then Window Creep, which is a double dry hopped New England double IPA. Window Creep is at 8%, Sleight of Hand 8.1%, the fruited sour is at 6.5%. So kudos to Killsboro and Union Beer for partnering together. That is just awesome. I am very excited for them. Could not be happier for them. Before we take a short break, just wanted to thank a few people. We had our client cruise the other night on the Hudson for the station, for AM 970 The Answer, as well as for WMCA The Mission. I got to talk to a lot of people. Steve Perillo, Assemblyman John Bramnick was on board, Assemblyman Robert Auth from New Jersey. A lot of great conversation. To Arthur Idala, talked to a lot of great people. For those of you who are big believers in New Jersey beer, Robert Auth is a big supporter. I know that. Robert and I have had discussions before. John Bramnick is a big fan of the craft beer business in New Jersey. And it leads me real quick to some things. And as of right now that I'm recording this, I don't know what the outcome is in Hackensack, but they were the town apparently was passing an ordinance to prevent food trucks from being in locations all the time. They were limiting them to a certain amount of places per year. What I don't understand about the state of New Jersey, and I'm talking to you guys locally, local officials, as well as state people who are not on board with craft beer and food trucks and things of this nature. Why are you trying to stifle small business? Why are you trying to prevent small business from succeeding in New Jersey? I don't understand it. It makes zero sense. You are ruining a burgeoning business on both ends, both food trucks and breweries. You have a golden opportunity to create revenue, tax revenue, sustainable revenue over a long period of time, provided the beer is good and the food's good, of course. To keep shooting yourself in the foot is ridiculous. And I firmly believe that it is the restaurant industry that is preventing it, the lobbyists with the restaurant industry, that is preventing craft beer and food trucks from thriving in New Jersey. That's the bottom line. That's my opinion. I don't think it's a fact yet, but if I had the facts, believe me, you'd bet I would certainly be putting it out there. But what I'm saying is support local business. Help those craft beer businesses. Help those food trucks in New Jersey. Shame on you, local officials and state officials, who continue to destroy creativity and small business in the Garden State. All you're doing is pushing those people out and sending them elsewhere. It's wrong. It sends the wrong message. Bottom line. When we come back after a short break, author Joshua Bernstein in studio with me to talk about his new book, Drink Better Beer. Folks, we're just getting started on the Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer.
Larry Elder always has the facts to back up his points.
Every 2 years, the DOJ conducts something called the Police Public Contact Survey. They're asked a series of questions. What was your contact like? Was there violence? Was there disrespect? They can't find any pattern at all that suggests systemic institutional racism. It isn't there.
The Larry Elder Show. Weeknights at 7 on AM 970. The Answer.
Your life is an important one. Here at AM 970 The Answer, we want to hear how this station is making a direct and positive impact on your life. Each day, our programs and hosts enter your busy world of responsibilities and challenges, and every day it's our wish that what you hear on this station positively affects you and your family. We may be your main source of much-needed information, or we may provide you with a perspective about the world that is truthful and timely. Maybe it's giving you unique insights at just the right time. These interactions happen regularly, and we'd love for you to tell us about it. Here's what we want you to do. Visit am970theanswer.com and type in the keyword story for all the details. Then record a video message on a camera or a mobile device and share your story with us. Here's the best part. For sharing your impact story with us, you'll automatically be eligible to win a grand prize of a $1,000 gift card. So share your story today. Visit am970theanswer.com and use the keyword story for all the details, contest rules, and to submit your video. That's am970theanswer.com, keyword story. Tradeway is giving you the chance to break into the stock market and learn from industry professionals. Come to the Marriott Marquis in Times Square on September 27th and 28th, and for only $99.95, you can take advantage of all their experience and expertise. Call Tradeway at 877-907-TRADE or go to tradeway.com to register. That's 877-907-TRADE or go to tradeway.com. See you there. Every Saturday morning at 7, The Auto Lab, the longest-running auto show in New York City, can be heard for a full 2 hours. Host Professor Harold Walchalk and a diverse panel of automotive experts will answer all your basic automotive questions and fill you in on the history and culture of the auto industry. The Auto Lab is on the air and here to help for a full 2 hours. Listen every Saturday morning starting at 7, right here on AM 970, The Answer.
The Supreme Court confirmation process has been on the point of breakdown for 30 years, and it finally collapsed with the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh. I'm Molly Hemingway.
And I'm Carrie Severino. Our new book, Justice on Trial, The Kavanaugh Confirmation and the Future of the Supreme Court, reveals the inside story of these bitterly divisive hearings and what they mean for the court and the country.
Justice on Trial is the explosive new bestseller on the Kavanaugh confirmation. Get your copy today from Amazon or wherever books are sold.
Breaking news and local news. Find it on our website, am970theanswer.com.
Welcome back to the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. You can follow me on Twitter very easily at Al Gattulo, Instagram at Gattulo, GATTULLO, Facebook.com/AG Craft Beer Cast, Google Play and iTunes. Just do a search for AG Craft Beer Cast, or just say to your Amazon Ready device, Alexa, I want to hear the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. And bingo, you get to hear us right there. Or on Mondays, you get to hear us over at the hoppedupnetwork.com. There's a plethora of beer and music-related podcasts that are on there. You can find mine, click on it, and can listen to the show at your leisure. Now, my guest, who's kind enough to join me in studio for a few segments, as we chat about his new book, it's called Drink Better Beer, Discover the Secrets of the Brewing Experts. You can order the book over on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc. Got lots of things to talk about with this guy. For more info, check out his website at joshuambernstein.com. But let me welcome into the studio on the Craft Beer Cast, Josh Bernstein. Josh, thanks so much for coming in. How are you?
Yeah, happy to be here, Al.
Excellent. Now, the beer scene is becoming more and more confusing for some. How can we make it simple for folks to buy beer to drink and enjoy?
You know, I think, you know, 10, 15 years ago, just the idea of having a beer that tasted different was really enough to set it apart. And I mean, that's not really the case anymore. You walk into any grocery store, corner bodega, wherever you go, and you're presented with dozens, if not hundreds, of different options.
Right.
So I think there's some easy ways you can think about, like, how does the store take care of the beer? Is the beer refrigerated? You know, is it sitting in sunlight? So there's really simple cues you can take if you take one more second to think before you make a purchasing decision and start drinking.
Right. And so let me ask you that. Is it better to have the beer refrigerated, or is it better to have it just sitting out, you know? Because to me, I always think it should be refrigerated, but we get shipped, you know, beers to sample all the time. Most of the time, they're not refrigerated. They still taste fine, but is it better to have it refrigerated as opposed to just sitting out on the shelf?
You know, something like an IPA or something with a lot of, like, hop profile, the heat's going to make that degrade pretty rapidly on there, too. So you want those to be pretty cool, nice, in the refrigerator, but it's not like, beer is not like milk. It's not going to spoil and go bad immediately if you keep it out in your car or ship it to somebody to do this and that, too. I mean, it's just sort of like general rules. Like, would you want what temperature would you want to have your food at? And so you think about that for the beer. So I try to refrigerate every single one of my beers altogether, but stuff like barley wines, big imperial stouts, things like that can definitely stay on like a rack, wine cooler, wherever. I think the general rule is the higher the ABV, the less likely it needs to be refrigerated.
Okay. And so many beer geeks love to buy a beer, not drink it at that moment. They want to age it for a few years before cracking it open. What's the best way to do that, and do you think it's a good idea to cellar beer in general?
Whatever. I kind of think about, you know, I used to think about cellaring beer in a big way, too, but it's kind of a crapshoot. Are you cellaring 10 different beers, then figuring them out, opening them up every 6 months, like, taste the evolution of there as well? I mean, if any brewery sells a beer to you, it's ready to be drank right away. And so you can save it for a rainy day if you want, but, I mean, there's no sense or this not really deep understanding if 5 years from now, today is going to be even better than it is today.
Right. It's funny because Stone had come out with a beer a couple of years ago that they wanted people to age it for a year and see what happens. I remember it was in a yellow bottle. I remember buying it, and I remember I just stuck it in my basement. I said, you know what, let me just put this away and see what happens. And I remember it was like enjoy by, and I think they had the date was like April of 2017.
Yeah.
And coincidentally, I had gotten diagnosed with cancer, so I couldn't even enjoy it right away anyway. And then it was a couple of months after that I finally decided to crack it open. And it was interesting. It did taste, you know, different to me a little bit, but I was like, you know what? What if I had bought a bottle and just opened it right away? It would have been interesting to see the difference between one to the other, you know?
Yeah, I think, too. I mean, there's definite. I think that one had wild yeast in there, too. So wild yeast will have a deep evolutionary impact on the flavor and profile of the beer, too. But something like a bourbon barrel-aged stout, some flavors may get more complex. Things may change over time as well. But, I mean, I don't know. I used to save a lot more beers. I'm of the opinion that today's as good a day as any to drink a beer, because who knows what's going to happen tomorrow.
Exactly. We're talking with author Joshua Bernstein. He's written a new book called Drink Beer Better, Discover the Secrets of the Brewing Experts. You can order the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. For more info, check out his website, at joshuambernstein.com. We're here on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. One of the things you talk about in the book, Josh, why is it so important to have the right glass to drink your craft beer with?
You know, I think having the right glassware and the right way of actually pouring the beer in there can really impact the way that you appreciate the beer too. I mean, look, it's not going to say if you got a mason jar or a plastic cup, I'm not going to say I don't drink this beer at all. I mean, any glass is better than no glass.
Right.
But I really think you should think about pouring the beer in there expresses a lot of the carbon dioxide and makes the beer easier to drink. I hear people complain all the time, like, you know, beer makes me feel bloated and full. Are you drinking it out of a bottle and can, or are you pouring it out? Pouring it out makes it express the CO2, and then you get a nice, beautiful head, which traps the aromatics and just makes it so much more of an interesting experience for people. So I think having a couple of good glasses around, I mean, can go a big way to making you enjoy the beer more.
Right.
And I mean, look, we drink with our eyes before we drink with our mouths and hits our stomach. And so why not make that? You had this great beer, why not have a great glassware too?
Yeah. And it's interesting. In the book, I believe you say, if you don't have those glasses and you have a wine, it's just as good as long as you're pouring it into something, right?
Yeah, as long as you're pouring into something. I mean, look, I think that, look, it's totally okay to drink something out of a can or bottle. I'm not that much of a snob about anything. But for me at home, I always try to pour the beer out possible. I think you get a lot more sense of its aromatics, its color, its skew, and all these things. I mean, it's kind of like the brewer spent all this time creating a beer that looks a certain way, smells a certain way, too. So why not look at it and enjoy it before you put it in your body?
Right. And they want you to enjoy it out of a glass. Nobody's telling you, just crack it and, you know, and have one and it doesn't matter. But now let me ask you this, Josh. I walk into a gastropub that I've never been to before, and there's plenty in New York City. There's plenty all over the country. What are the things that I have to look for in order to make sure that the beer being served to me is done properly?
So you're walking to a bar, you know, I would definitely like to see them wash the glass out beforehand too. Mm-hmm. Washing it out there, you know, you get rid of any lingering dust, prepares the beer, the foam, the beer goes in there a lot easier if the glass is washed out. I don't want to see a frozen glass at all, because I think frozen glass, you know, I mean, there's a reason stuff like Coors Light tells you to drink it as cold as the Rockies, because cold temperatures basically dampen down the aromas. And so if you have a beer that doesn't smell like much, taste like much, you're accentuating the crispness. But I mean, if you have frozen glassware with an IPA, I mean, you're dampening down this great expressive aroma. So I want to see, when I get the beer served, I don't want to see bubbles on the edge of the glass, bubbles on the side of the glass. I mean, the glass is dirty, and I mean, it's just the telltale sign on there too. And I want to see them actually present the beer with the head on it. I mean, so often we think in America that if we get a beer, that's got to be filled to the brim. But I mean, and you're like, oh, you're cheating me out of 2 ounces of beer in that too. But foam can be an awesome thing.
Right.
I mean, foam's something that, you know, foam is kind of like a giant net that captures all these great aromatics. And you got this giant net with all these bubbles that pop one by one by one, expressing all these aromas. So why would you not want to enjoy that? So, right. I mean, if I see a glass that's pulled out of a freezer that's you know, not rinsed out, that served me without a head with bubbles on the side, it just shows that there's just not a lot of care. And I mean, that's the big problem, that we think that beer is everywhere. And then if you drink craft beer, you drink IPAs, you think everybody must know about these things. But that's not true.
No, that's true.
I mean, it's service, and service takes time and intention. And I mean, it's and somebody's got to care. And I mean, let's be honest. I mean, at most restaurants across the country, so there's just not that deep attention to detail that you'd wish with a beer service. I mean, the wine makes the money. Wine and cocktails make the money, and beer, you know, you get a glass of wine, it's $12. You're like, okay, that is a $12 glass of wine. What did the bottle cost? And so you're like, okay, I guess wine's $12, or I guess this cocktail's worth $14. But the second you say this beer is worth $12, like, whoa, 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 I can't believe that beer costs $12, even though. And it's just these ideas we think. There's certain foods and drinks that we think should be cheap. We think dumplings should be cheap, tacos should be cheap, that beer should be cheap, no matter how quality the ingredients are that go into it. So all these things are just, it's crazy. You know, beer is complex and complicated and takes time. And I mean, why not pay a little extra for something that you enjoy?
Yeah, I mean, and listen, I never have a problem with paying for a good beer if it's, and again, I like it poured in a glass and poured properly. And you're right, cleanliness is the biggest issue. For me, if a glass of beer costs $12, it better be a good beer for $12, but I don't have a problem with paying for that. What can people do at home, though, to keep their glasses clean? I notice it happens to me all the time. Is there a special soap that people can use to keep their glasses clean, or is it just, you know, make sure that you really scrub it properly with the right type
of, hot water, minimal soap, you know?
Really?
I think so many times we get detergents that are scented with fragrances too, and so you're like, oh, the mountain spring dew, like, how great, my dishes are clean, but you're introducing those same aromatics into the glassware as you would as, you know, washing your clothes with this detergent that smells like something. And so I like to have an unscented detergent at home, you know, hot water, you know, hot water, minimal soap, clean it out. And oftentimes, I think if you store it face down with a lip down in your cabinet, something like that, I mean, if your cabinets are wood, so the smells are going to permeate upward on there too.
Right.
So, I mean, just do a little test sometime. If you have a glass in your cabinet, take it out and give it a whiff. It's going to smell like something. So store it upright and then, you know, like, oh, well, it'll get dusty. But I mean, like a quick rinse before serving it, I mean, it's totally fine. So, yeah, I mean, you have these glasses stored upright, a quick rinse with water beforehand. It doesn't take an awful lot to have a great glassware. And I mean, even if you put things in the dishwater, in the dishwasher for the cycle out, just, you know, don't let them heat dry, you know, put them in there, minimal detergent again. I mean, we always think that it's this American way of thinking that like excess equals excellence, you know, like a little bit of soap, a little bit of this. I mean, a little bit can go a long way.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. Now I want to take a quick break because we got a lot more to get into in the book, including pairing beer with food, how to recognize various hops, and where Josh is going to be appearing with copies of his book and, of course, beer to drink here and around New York City. That's coming up next on the Al Gattullo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970 The Answer.
It's fair and 75 degrees. What's going on? We have the answer. Carnival goers are safe after being stuck on a ride in Bull's Head, Staten Island on Saturday evening.
Firefighters guided each person down a ladder after the ride was reportedly stuck in midair for over 40 minutes. It's not yet known what caused the ride to fail. The attraction is part of the Greek Festival on Richmond Avenue. Ashok Bala, NBC News Radio, New York.
The Staten Island Ferry Terminal in Manhattan was briefly evacuated due to a suspicious package earlier today. Police say they received a call on Sunday afternoon around 2:30 reporting a suspicious package at the terminal. The package was deemed safe over an hour later, causing delays in ferry service. It remains unclear what the package was. In sports, well, the Mets lost to the Dodgers. 3-2 is that final score. Yankees fell to the Toronto Blue Jays this afternoon. 6-4 was that final score. And the Giants lost to the Buffalo Bills, 28-14. Traffic delays at the inbound GWB on the upper deck. No problems, lower level and Palisades approach slated for the Easy Pass customers only until 6 a.m. And then Lincoln Tunnel looks like a good ride in and out. Holland inbound from either approach. That looks good. Outbound Holland, also a nice, smooth ride. Once you get into the city, Harlem River Drive, southbound from 5th Avenue to the Willis Avenue Bridge, no longer any delays, but northbound side of the FDR at 61st Street did have a crash. That has now been cleared. West Side Highway, that seems to be a pretty smooth ride. And then, of course, through Brooklyn on the BQE, we're actually moving well. The Belt, no longer any delays. Looks like it's a good ride also. Traveling through the Bronx, Bronx River Parkway, Cross Bronx, all in good shape. Weather for tonight, partly cloudy, low around 67 degrees. And then for tomorrow, 20% chance of showers after 2 p.m. Otherwise, partly sunny, high near 80. Now you know what's going on. I'm Amy Salerno on AM 970, The Answer.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the New York Army National Guard. Aired by the New York State Broadcasters Association and this station.
Listen to Joe Piscopo in the morning, weekdays at 6. Mike Gallagher at 10 on AM 970. The Answer.
Welcome back to the Al Gattullo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. We are talking in studio with author Josh Bernstein. He's written a new book. It's called Drink Better Beer, Discover the Secrets of the Brewing Experts. You can order the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc. And for more info, you can check out his website at joshuambernstein.com. So, Josh, is it difficult to pair beer with food? And if you're someone who, let's say, you know, doesn't like to cook. I do like to cook. My wife doesn't. What are some simple things that you can pair with beer?
You can pair anything with beer, I think. You know, we always think and hear that wine is the ultimate pairing of beer, too. But beer is so forgiving, I think. There's such a range of flavors that can match with almost anything you can conceive of and inconceive of at the time, too. And, I mean, what happens with the beer as well is you get those scrubbing bubbles and the carbonation that cleanses your palate and, like, really primes you for another sip and another bite. And I think the really cool thing now is we're seeing a lot of beers that, you know, we've got this idea of table wine. You go to an Italian restaurant, you get a big carafe of wine, and it's like, just keep on drinking it and don't think about it, too. And so you've got this rise of things like food-friendly table beers where, you know, something that's going to be, it's not going to demand your attention, but something to go along with conversation and consumption. But I think, I always like to look at styles of beer that amber ales tend to get overlooked and are kind of rushed, the new and the next and the dry hopped whatever. But I mean, amber ales are really marvelous. And, you know, classic German lagers work out really well, too. I mean, a Pilsner will just, you know, a German Pilsner, a Czech Pilsner will go with anything, or something like Oktoberfest right now for the fall. Like, the Märzen is such a marvelous beer. I mean, you think roasted meats, you think heartiness, and it's just, it's an amazing pairing.
It's funny that I guess at least I'm seeing some brewers now that are starting to brew more Pilsners and lagers. There's a local brewery by my house in New Jersey, and the brewer just messaged me a couple weeks ago and said, hey, we have our first Pilsner and lager coming out, which I think is great because I want to see some more of that stuff. I feel like I'm almost IPA'd out. Like, I love IPAs, but now with the haze and the this and, you know, all these different styles, I feel like my tongue is like, all right, enough already. Like, I'm kind of done. You know, like, can we move on to something else?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, you can only go so far with excess and flavors, too. I mean, it's great to go to whatever Taco Bell and get the crunchy gordita 7-layer burrito and this, but do you want to have that every single day? And right. I look at, you know, how many 10% triple IPAs can you have before you get drunk and your palate is basically bombed into oblivion? So I think sort of, but I think we're at a point now where a lot of brewers have made their point that, you know, craft beer is different. They're feeling like it's okay, I think, to go back to these styles they tended to run away from. I mean, back in the 80s, 90s, we ran screaming from Pilsners, you know, and lagers, because that's what the dominant thing is. You're not going to get somebody to change their mind if you serve them something that's like, it's like, here is your football lager, but better. And I mean, they're like, but yeah, I like this one. You need to show people something that's so different. But nowadays, I think that you know, we're going back to some of the classic styles. We're going to see this really push forward, I think. And the challenge is, you know, there's people think that lagers are easy to brew, and they're not. I mean, we talk about they can't hide behind anything. They're really simple, pure. But, I mean, there's so much nuance, I think. The malt level is the level of hops you can really play with. So you're not just opening up the throttle and going 90. You're trying to fine-tune the engine and figure out what works here and there, too. And that's what excites me, that I think after a while, once you've gone through all these intensities, you kind of want to explore the subtler ranges, too, that, you know, I mean, music's not all, like, crank to 11 all the time.
That's true. Although, I do like to crank it to 11.
Yeah, well, I mean, go for it. I mean, like, and this is, and here's the fun thing. If you want to enjoy great big pastry stouts and enjoy yourself and, like, you know, bomb yourself out, that's great. I mean, this is not it's a no judgment zone. I mean, whatever makes you happy. But I mean, I just think that's great that we're exploring new ways of expressing what it means to be a brewer in America.
How can someone who is a novice smell the difference in hops, you know, et cetera? Is there a difference? Can you tell one from the other?
Yeah, hops are kind of like spices in a sense, too. But I mean, it's really hard to say that. You know, I could give you broad descriptors and say that, you know, Centennial, citrusy, you know, Cascade, pine, and grapefruit. But I mean, you've got to find a way. But until you've drank the beers are exclusively with that hop on there, too, and assign these mental imagery, like this flavor profile is pine, this one's grapefruit. But when you use hops at different, I mean, it's a pretty complicated story, because when the time you pick the hop, like, impacts the flavor. So if you pick a hop earlier in the hop, in the picking cycle, it could have one flavor profile. Later on, it could be something else altogether.
And because it's matured, because it's still
it's matured,
growing,
and the flavors have kind of evolved a little bit on there, too. And when you add the hop into the brewing process as well, it impacts its flavor profile as well. Mm-hmm. Then also, how old is the beer, too? And I mean, with these hops, these really expressively hop beers, what happens is the, you know, as they mature, they don't get worse, they just change. And so what was sort of really intense in your face is gone. So it's really hard for, I mean, all these hops do have different flavor profiles, but they're kind of like, it's like a curry, or, you know, what makes a curry? And it's like a blend of different things all together. Sure. And so you're like, oh, that tastes like a curry. But what does that mean? It's like ginger, galangal, there's kaffir lime leaves and all these other things all together. And so brewers kind of use hops in conjunction to, it's a symphony of flavors all working together in concert.
We're talking with author Josh Bernstein. He's written a new book called Drink Better Beer, Discover the Secrets of the Brewing Experts. You can order the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever books are sold. For more info, check out his website, joshuambernstein.com. We're here on the Al Cattullo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. You have a segment in the book on sours, and I was not a sour fan for a very long time, but after I had chemo and radiation, I found that I love them. I love sours. So why are sours such an acquired taste?
You know, if you think back to, you know, it's like sour is kind of like bitterness. It's something that it's an intensity on there as well. And I think with beer, it's a disconnect. We're often taught that sour equals bad, like, you know, milk's gone sour, something sour. I mean, even when we say he's got a sour expression, there's nothing positive about saying that something is sour. And sour is also kind of seen as an extreme dare for kids. So you get your sour warhead candy. It's like sour blows out your taste buds. And I mean, that's what sour has been. But I mean, done properly, sour can have nuance and variation too. And I mean, the problem is previously that to create a lot of these flavor profiles in beer is a process of intentional contagion with microbes that patiently created these profiles. And then, you know, two factors. So it took a while to make them. Time equals money. They cost more. So people getting into beer may have been sort of like, I don't know, why are you going to spend $15 on a sour beer? I mean, that doesn't sound good. But nowadays, the process called kettle souring, where they can really introduce these things and do it and create sour beers in a much shorter time frame. And it's going to have a much more cleaner sort of like one. It's not going to be as multifaceted as a long age sour. But it's going to be a clean sort of like lactic tart note that sings beautifully and goes well with so many fruits too. And I mean, we think about, I mean, if you think about it, you got a margarita, what is it? It's got lime in there too. And so we love that, but it's lime in concert with something else altogether. So we see these sour beers that a lot of the kettle sour beers are using fruits, using peaches, using watermelon, using whatever as a way to kind of balance out the sweetness of the fruit. And so you've got this really nice interplay. So sour is not sort of the star of the show. Sour is something that's supporting character that's really helping both these elements work together.
That's cool. And I always encourage people, try a sour a couple of times. You might actually like it, as opposed to go, oh, this is something that I can't drink. Now, you've got a couple of appearances coming up this Tuesday, September 17th. You're going to be at Wild East Brewing and another event at Milk and Hops on the 19th. Tell me a little bit about both of them.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, I've been in New York for a long time when homebrew was just kind of kicking off. So we've been here for almost 20 years now.
Wow.
And so I've watched a lot of the homebrewers gone up from the, you know, from the kitchens opening up their own breweries, you know, KCBC and Bushwick, the Killsborough, all these folks were homebrewers. And I ran these things called homebrew tours where we went to different homebrewers' homes and tried their beer. And really cool that we knew each other and we were all just kind of like on this struggling together to make our mark in the world. And so now they're opening their own brewery. So Wild East is another new brewery that's going to be opening up in the Gowanus section of Brooklyn.
Cool.
So they're not open to the public yet, but we've got them together. So we're going to have an early sneak preview of the brewery, try their beers before they're available to the public. And then also the folks at Finback Orch are opening up a space in Gowanus too. We're going to have them there. They're having a distillery inside there called Halftone. So we're going to have Halftone Gin, then Strong Rope, to kind of have it be a community of Gowanus breweries together. So we're going to do that, and that's on Tuesday. Then Thursday, Milk and Hops Ramen Bar on the Upper East Side. That, you know, I think ramen's been this really, you know, we're in a ramen moment right now, I think, with food. That it's something that's gone from a dorm room staple to being something that sort of celebrated worth paying $20 a bowl for. Kind of like beer, too, where, you know, it's not just this cheap thing that gets you through the moment that you need. And so we're going to be at Milk and Hops Ramen Bar with a bunch of crazy beers from Aslan Brewing and tons of other really fantastic breweries. So we're going to partner ramen with beer and my book. And I think it's like $35, which is insanely cheap.
That's great. And you get the book too?
Yeah. And I mean, we're just giving things away now.
No, I'll tell you, that's a great deal. In 60 seconds or less, Josh, my last question, what is, in your opinion, what do you think is the next big craze in the beer world? And I don't mean hard seltzer.
Let's see, the next big craze, and they put me on the spot here, Al, for this too, on there too. But I think you are. I would not say craze so much as we're going to see a lot more I mean, hard seltzer is out there. We're trying to cycle through the trends. We talked about Pilsner. Pilsners right. are definitely become a thing. That's, but I don't know if they're going to set the world on fire so much as they're going to be something that's going to gain interest. I think we're going to see continuing blurring the lines of fermentation. So what we're going to see is that, and the experience in the tap room. So we're going to see things like slushy machines, ways to draw people in there, get you off your couch, get you off Netflix, get you into a tap room. So they're going to find new ways. And as well, we're going to see fermentations take on new shapes and forms. Anything that can be fermented, hard coconut water, hard green tea, anything altogether. We're going to see breweries become broad spectrum beverage companies. And so just that's what's going to happen, that breweries are not just going to make beer anymore. They're going to make anything and everything you can put in your body.
It sounds like fun. It sounds like stuff that that I would enjoy tasting. And who knows? I don't know about the hard coconut water, but
it's a little sweet. Yeah. I tried a few of them. It's a little bit sweet, but like agua, like boozy agua fresca is
right.
anything you can think of as a liquid, just put hard before it, and breweries are going to make it.
There you go. My guest has been author Josh Bernstein. He's got a new book. It's called Drink Better Beer, Discover the Secrets of the Brewing Experts. You can order the book right now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc. Again, Tuesday, September 17th, he's going to be at Wild East Brewing in Brooklyn. He'll also be at Milk & Hops on the 19th. You can check out his website, joshuambernstein.com, for more info on that. Josh, thanks so much for joining me in the studio tonight. Very much appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You got it. Up right, next, bye. Time for Suds and Duds on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer.
Larry Elder doesn't see another Obama in the White House.
Now, about this business of Michelle Obama entering the race, you have got to be kidding. Has she ever shown anything that suggests to you she has the temperament to run?
The ability to accept the heat, take the criticism.
She has zero interest, zero desire, and frankly, zero aptitude to be the kind of politician who could run and win the nomination, let alone beat Trump.
The Larry Elder Show, weeknights at 7 on AM 970. The Answer.
Hi, it's Joe Piscopo. You have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to you. You can get great discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the Radio Listener Specials. Get deep discounts on MyPillow's mattress toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, the body pillow is regularly $89.99, but with promo code AM970, it's only $29.99. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Today, you can also pre-order Mike's book here, What Are the Odds from Crack Addict to CEO? And you'll get $10 off with promo code AM970 and free shipping on your entire order. Enter promo code AM970 or call 800-651-0798 for these great MyPillow specials.
This is Dennis Prager inviting you to join me for a 10-day Stand with Israel tour, a tour of the key sites and places to give you an unprecedented view of a world you've likely only read or heard about. Come home inspired by the experience. If you've ever dreamed of seeing Israel, this is your opportunity. We'll be together in the comfort and safety of luxurious accommodations. Join me for a life-changing adventure to give you a renewed sense of purpose.
For more information and to register for this trip, go to am970theanswer.com.
Listen to us anywhere. TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio.com. Get the app at am970theanswer.com.
Final segment of the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. Follow me very easily on Twitter at Al Gattulo, Facebook.com/AG Craft Beer Cast via email at AlbertG@NYCRadio.com. Don't forget Instagram at Gattulo. That's GATTULLO. We've got iTunes and Google Play. Just do a search for AG Craft Beer Cast. You can find all the shows on those two platforms. Alexa Ready as well. And the other platform you can find us on is the Hopped Up Network. Just go to the hoppedupnetwork.com and you will find not only my podcast, usually on Monday mornings, very early Monday mornings, but you will find a lot of other great beer and music podcasts for your listening pleasure. So it's Suds and Duds. It's our final segment. Little Cars, you might think. Great band. Never got a chance to see them live. And I don't think they'll ever reform and be the Cars again. But if they did, I would definitely go and see them. So definitely a group of the 80s that, was appreciated, but I don't know if they were really appreciated enough. They had some unbelievable hits, kind of that punk new wave rock that kind of, took flight in the late 70s, early 80s, and kind of fizzled out around the mid-80s mark. So, we'll see. So, suds and duds. So let's start it off with something from Stone that they had sent me a couple of weeks back. Notorious P.O.G., their Berliner Weiss. This is really good. A big burst of guava, tart, sour, really good beer. Low ABV, enjoyed it a lot. Definitely a, for me, a summertime drinking beer. This was something that I had as we were getting close to Labor Day. So excellent job out of the folks at Stone. And I have to reach out to Lizzie at Stone. They have a new Mexican lager that's out with a little salt in it and stuff. And I know it's going to be national come next year. It's available in California now, but I have to see if I can get a sample beforehand. Anyway, moving on, the Notorious POG, very good. Heavy Seas sent me this beer called Scoops. It is a vanilla chocolate milkshake IPA. And it was interesting because it poured dark, like dark chocolate. And what they did was when they sent the can to me, they also sent an ice cream glass, like an old school ice cream glass that you would have a float, an ice cream float or a shake out of, with a straw, which I thought was really cool. And so I guess the encouragement was, because it was a vanilla chocolate milkshake IPA, like to make a milkshake. So what I did was I added vanilla and chocolate ice cream, a scoop of each, into the glass and then poured the beer in. And I have to tell you, it made all the difference in the world. The vanilla and chocolate ice cream mixing with the IPA was fantastic. Drank it with the straw, the whole thing. It was a Saturday night. I said, let me just do like an adult milkshake kind of thing, right? It was great. I have to say, though, the beer on its own was decent. I'm not going to say it was the best thing I've ever had, because it certainly wasn't. Was it the worst? No. But I definitely think for a milkshake IPA, I was expecting it more, a little bit more on the light side. But definitely, if you get this, and it was in small batches at Heavy Seas, I would definitely add ice cream to it and have some fun with it. It's definitely a beer to have fun with. Maybe something you get, and it's in a 16-ounce can. So if you ended up buying a 4-pack and you shared it with a few people, I think it would work out quite nicely. So kudos to Heavy Seas. Just a different take on beers. As we continue on here on our Suds and Duds segment on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. So the folks from Alosta Brewing Company out of California, they're doing a collaboration with the band Live. We're actually, I'm scheduled to interview Byron from Alosta, Byron Fisher, from Alosta on Monday for next weekend's show. So hopefully, I know we were trying to get some times right. Obviously, being out in California, it's early. But we're trying to tape that tomorrow, Monday, and then it'll air next weekend. So ahead of time, he sent me a can of the Throwing Copper live beer, as well as this collaboration he did with Chavo Guerrero, this Los Guerreros by Alosta. It's a Mexican lager, very light, a little sweet. This was excellent. It was a nice change of pace, a really good beer. So I'm starting to like Mexican lagers a little bit more. Again, because I think because of the sweetness and the lightness of it, that breadiness of the lager. And I do love a good lager. This was very good. So if you're in Alosta, if you're in California and you're near Alosta Brewing, definitely check them out. I had a Trolley Hopper by Wet Ticket. Picked up a 4-pack of this a couple of weeks ago. It's a solid beer. I know Tim tweaked this just a little bit, the Trolley Hopper. Man, I'll tell you, it's a really solid New England IPA. Juicy. It's got a nice little bite to it. Really, really good. And then Laura Baddish from the Baddish Group sent me a couple of bottles of Krabby's Original Alcoholic Ginger Beer to try. And I have to tell you, this is very refreshing on a warm day. Just enough ginger in it. Very nice. I'm not a big fan of ginger ale. I'm not a big fan of ginger beers, but this is a great beer. This is something if you want to kind of, I don't want to say quench your thirst, but it's almost, if you remember growing up in the 80s and you got sick, what did you do? Mom kept you home. You had a can of Campbell's chicken soup, some saltines, a can of ginger ale, some Vicks Vapor Rub, and you watch The Price is Right and all the game shows in the morning, right? This is exactly what it reminds me of, except it's a Saturday night, and I want to have an adult ginger ale with a little bit of alcohol to it. This is exactly what the ginger beer from Krabby & Company is. It was perfect. It really was. It really it kind of set my mood for the night. It brought me right back to the 80s. So if you remember that as a kid, you'll definitely enjoy this. Now, I know a number of people have said to me, take the ginger beer, add a shot of Jameson to it. It's really good. I did not do that. I drank it on its own, on its face, and it's not bad. It was actually kind of tasty. As we continue on here, Suds and Duds on the Al Cthulhu Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. The Throwing Copper Ale, that collaboration with Live by Alosta, what a great beer. Smooth, a lot of caramel flavor to it. Tasted more like a lager to me than an ale, and I know it's just technical because of the titles. This is a perfect fall beer. It's coming out in October. I know they were taking pre-orders and stuff. I think you can still get it if you go to alostabrewing.com. That's alostabrewing.com. Great beer. I would buy this. I would drink this more and more. Not many places making a copper ale. Not many places making those types of beers. So this is definitely something that was really good. And thanks to Byron from Alosta for setting me up with that beer. It was excellent. I had a can of the Sawtooth Waveform by Almentry. I had a couple of cans left sitting in the fridge. Delicious, juicy, just a nice beer. And by the way, earlier in the show, we talked about Almentry and food trucks, and they were having an issue with food trucks in the town, and they were supposed to vote on banning the food trucks or limiting them to a certain amount. Well, it turns out the Hackensack board met earlier in the week, and they decided to table the discussion for another time. They're going to work with the food truck owners. Maybe they're going to work with some of the restaurants around there. So they did not pass any legislation. Kudos to them. Revisit this. Talk about it. Negotiate. Stop screwing up New Jersey. You guys have golden opportunities here to do things, and you're screwing it up left and right. Don't screw it up. Had a bottle of Rollway of the Highway as well by Wet Ticket. Tim Pewitt, nice enough to give me a bottle when I went in there. About a week or so ago, I was just having a couple of tasters and gave me the bottle to take home for the Labor Day weekend, and ended up lighting a fire pit in the backyard and cracking this bottle open. And I drank the whole thing over the course of about 2 hours. This is a perfect fall beer. It's got that nuttiness. It's just a great porter. All the flavors are there that you want, that warmth, the chocolate and the coconut, and just kind of it all sits in perfectly. Rollway of the Highway. I know they still have bottles available. If you stop by Wet Ticket over in Rollway, New Jersey, I think it's $12 for the bottle. Very inexpensive. Don't cellar this. Definitely drink it fresh. I would certainly put it on ice, get it cold, crack it, let it warm up a little bit while you're drinking it. It is definitely a good beer. Another beer that I thought was fantastic that the folks from Founder sent me, Underground Mountain Brown. Wow, is this a great beer. Coffee and bourbon complement each other without being overpowering. Fantastic. I think that was my nightcapper for the fire pit. That is an outstanding beer. One of the best that I've had from Founders so far. It is absolutely positively delicious. Kudos to Founders. Had a super soft by Sloop over at Paragon Tap and Table. Excellent juicy IPA. Sloop is just making some great stuff. Another one from Common Roots that was really good, and I'm glad I had it. Party Shirt Fridays Pineapple. Wow. Super pineapple flavor. I love pineapple. I could drink this beer all day long. So happy that Common Roots is back on their feet and they're brewing beer. And this is just an excellent beer. Party Shirt Fridays Pineapple by Common Roots. And then finally, a brewery that I have not had in a very long time, but they have certainly upped their game over the last 6 months or so. Belmartian by Beach House Brewery. This is a great milkshake IPA. Good flavor. I am very impressed. I know there's another Beach House beer we'll review next week on the program that I had that was very good. Beach House, I know they have a new brewer. They are doing some really good things. I think I'm going to have to take a trip down to Beach House again and do some sampling down there. They have a great place in Belmar, but their beers were kind of okay, middle of the road, nothing that knocked me out. This is a great beer, another very good beer by Beach House. I'm very impressed. So kudos to you guys. John Merklin and the guys at Beach House. Folks, we are out of time. I want to thank my guest who is in studio, Joshua Bernstein. His book is Drink Better Beer, Discover the Secrets of the Brewing Experts. You can get it now, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. and everyone else that helps to put this show together, as well as Matt Sambolin for loading the show up on the weekends. Thank you, Matt. And, of course, last but not least, the great Buddy Watson. Back Monday on the Joe Piscopo Show at 6 a.m. This has been the Al Catullo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Cheers, everybody.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.